Gettysburg Seminary presents the Seminary Explores podcast. Conversations on faith, art, people, politics, theology, life, and more. With voices from around the corner and around the globe.
Hello, everyone. This is Kristen Johnston-Largen here with the Seminary Explorers podcast from Gettysburg Seminary. And I'm delighted to have as my guest today, Jono Adams, a senior going to be graduating in May, assigned to Allegheny Synod, and actively getting ready for first call in that synod. So, Jono, welcome. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you so much.
Well, I want to begin the podcast with asking you to describe what you were doing two Saturdays ago, Jono.
So it was Saturday morning, and my fiance was here visiting, and we had actually gone over to York County to get donuts Saturday morning. And we were out in York County when my phone buzzed, and I looked down at my phone, and I guess the important thing to say at this point is that I volunteer with the fire department here in Gettysburg. So I looked down at my phone, and I had gotten a text message from our automated system, and the words on the screen that sort of took me very much by surprise: aircraft down, small.
My gosh! Right.
That was the incident type, and it was giving the address as, back here in Gettysburg. And so since we weren't really doing anything incredibly important in York, we were just getting donuts.
Did you already have your donuts?
I had the donuts,
yeah. Mission accomplished with the donuts.
We turned around and I carry a radio in my Jeep that I'm able to listen to all the 911 radio traffic, and turned it on and was listening, and started heading back towards Gettysburg. It was about half an hour, 45 minutes, but by that time to get back. I assumed that if it took me 30 or 45 minutes to get back and they still needed help, that would be I'd be able to help. So as I was listening, it sounded like a pilot at the airport here in Gettysburg had taken off, and in the process of taking off, it had some mechanical difficulties and tried to bring the plane back down to the runway, and in doing so, he actually crashed into a stand of trees off the side of the runway, and his plane ended up nose down about 50 or 60 feet in the air. So the Gettysburg Fire Department had responded. We have a lot of very competent volunteers, and actually a lot of our chiefs and other volunteer members are professional firefighters down in Baltimore and D.C. But they looked at the airplane 50 feet in the air in a tree and I think realized that they were going to need more help.
Yeah, you're right.
And so over the course of about 3 or 4 hours, they brought in fire departments from all over Adams County, York County, Cumberland County, Dauphin County, and then also Frederick County in Maryland. And they had originally thought that they were going to be able to fly a helicopter above and send a guy down on a cable from the helicopter and pick the pilot out that way.
Who was unarmed? Unharmed, right?
He was just
amazingly
sitting there,
so right. Yeah.
Sitting there waiting to be rescued.
Right.
Pastor President had mentioned it was one of his friends, and I guess actually he was able, fortunately, to unhook his seatbelt and climb and sit down on the dashboard of the plane.
Really?
So that he was actually able to be sitting upright the entire time.
Oh, that is good. Yeah, I had this vision of him head first down.
And I actually, was not close enough to have seen, how he was.
Okay.
And, Pastor President telling me that was pretty impressive.
Yeah.
And he was 86 or 87 years old.
Yeah, right.
And you know, over the course of 3 or 4 hours, you know, they finally figure out a way to essentially put ladders straight up in the air and tie them with ropes and secure them to the ground so that they could stay straight up in the air and send guys climbing up straight up on ladders like that
to get him.
Fortunately, that was not something that I had to do. But so what I do with the fire department, I'm what's called in Pennsylvania a fire police officer.
Okay.
And so essentially we're sworn in as police officers associated with the fire department. And our biggest focus is, you know, keeping the scene and the first responders safe.
Okay.
And so for a lot of the time on that Saturday, I was actually, you know, helping to keep the thousands of people who
right.
had heard on the radio right. or TV or on Facebook that there was a plane crash, keeping them out of the way
sure.
and letting, you know, our guys be able to do the work that they needed to do.
Yeah.
At one point, though, I did get sent, there was an extra saw that had been taken off the rescue truck for a class that was happening at the fire station.
Oh, okay.
And I did end up having to get sent back to
get that saw.
To go get that saw. Because, of course, it was the one that they
one
needed.
One that they needed. Oh, that's so funny.
But, you know, after about 3 or 4 hours, like I said, they got the ladders up. It was a struggle to find a ladder tall enough to even get up there. They got the ladders up. They got him down. And, you know, he went to the hospital to get checked out, but he was fine.
Yeah. Did you also have to get the plane out of the trees, or was that somebody else's
job? That was actually the next day the FAA came in.
Oh, sure. Okay.
And yep, they were, you know, very particular about how it needed to come down because they want to be able to do, an investigation into what sort of actually happened.
Sure, sure. Well, that's so interesting. And, of course, I have to tell you that President Cooper White, whom, as you know, flies, right? And so he called me on Saturday to say, just want you to know this is hitting the news and it wasn't me. He said, this is the same kind of plane that I have, but don't worry, it wasn't me. So I was very reassured because I thought, yeah, if I had heard that there had been a plane accident, of course I would have thought of him immediately.
Yeah.
So that was reassuring.
This is actually the second time a small plane has crashed around Gettysburg this year.
No.
And you know, the other one was a very similar plane as well. And
really?
So when Pastor President showed up where I was standing, you know, on scene on Saturday, you know, it was a very reassuring moment
right,
to,
yeah.
you know, see him on the ground
yes,
standing
Yes, right,
next
you're
to me.
Okay. Well, Jono, I'm just delighted to have this conversation with you about this. Now, and I think I want to talk with you about what it means for you to be kind of a first responder and how you came to this, kind of other past experiences that you've had. The first time that I even knew you did this, right? I didn't even know that you did this. I was walking up Springs Avenue and remember that car that had just plowed right into the house,
yeah.
right there on, you know, where kind yeah. of Springs becomes Chambersburg. And so I'm looking at this and then I look over and I'm like, hey, that's Jono in the street trying to sort of manage the traffic.
Yeah.
So I've been wanting to have the opportunity to talk with you about this for a while because I think it's a great expansion of your vocation in some way. So we'll get to that. But let's start with the beginning. How did you get into this kind of work?
So my brother is actually 8 years older than me. And so in a lot of ways, growing up, I looked up to my brother. And I took on his interests.
Okay.
And so growing up, we watched a lot of, you know, ER, a lot of
yeah.
Rescue 911, Emergency, all those sorts of shows that, you know, get little boys excited for,
yes.
you know, riding around in big red trucks.
Absolutely.
And my brother, actually, his freshman year of college, took a class to become an EMT.
Oh.
And, you know, as a 10-year-old, that was the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah.
You know, he later went on, thought he was going to be a paramedic, mm-hmm. eventually went to nursing school.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, seeing my brother, knowing that my brother was on the ambulance,
yeah.
that was one of those things that really sort of, you know, fascinated me.
Yeah.
And so it was always an interest. You know, I've always loved those sorts of TV shows. And when I got to be in high school, my junior, senior year of high school, I was looking for a way to volunteer, and a volunteer opportunity that would be more regular in the time commitments, not just sporadic, but also something that I thought would complement my interests.
Yeah. By this time, did you know you were interested in pastoral ministry?
Not really.
Okay. All right.
Actually, my senior year of high school, I thought I wanted to be a park ranger.
Okay.
To follow along with that, my senior year of high school, I joined a search and rescue team.
Oh, okay.
And
this was in Western Pennsylvania?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Just outside Pittsburgh in White Oak, PA.
Okay.
And I volunteered with them throughout my senior year, and that was sort of how I got my first taste of it. When I went to college, I went to West Virginia University, and again, one of the things that I was looking at in colleges was whether I might have some sort of opportunity to continue volunteering.
Okay.
And so one of the things that appealed to me about WVU was that there was a search and rescue team based in Morgantown.
Wow, okay.
And so actually, when I enrolled in WVU, literally the first day of classes, I rode my bike 5 miles to get to a meeting of this search and rescue team.
That's
so that
great.
I could join.
Yeah.
And I worked with them. Volunteered with them all through college, and it was this really great great experience when I thought I wanted to be a park ranger, but also sort of started helping me to see the bigger picture, and was one of the ways that I started to discern a call to ministry.
Yeah. What was one of the most memorable experiences you had in those 4 years while you were in college?
Just for the most part, For search and rescue on the East Coast, you know, there's sort of the romanticized image of, you know, people rappelling out of helicopters.
Yeah.
But for on the East Coast, it tends to be more so, you know, looking for people.
Yeah. Okay. Mostly mountains. I mean, people who are in
you know, yeah, often
woods or...
often outdoors people who who have strayed off. But you know, in a lot of cases, it's you know, folks with special needs who have wandered off.
Oh, okay.
Occasionally, folks who are you know, looking to hurt themselves.
Okay.
But so the searches for people tend to be, you know, these very large operations.
Sure.
And it was my senior year of college. We had a search for a missing 2-year-old.
Oh gosh.
And just to see the level of community support, you know, we had the search and rescue team, we had state police, we had firefighters, we had the FBI there.
Wow.
But then we also had just hundreds of people who had you know, chosen to take time out of their day to be
Come
part
look.
Of this.
Yeah. Wow.
I remember, you know, our radios used AA batteries.
Uh-huh.
And we told one of the church ladies that we were running out of batteries.
Yeah.
2 hours later, you know, her and her husband show up, you know, with 2 5-gallon buckets that they had bought every AA battery that there was at Walmart. And so, you know, with the search and rescue in particular, you sort of get to see, you know, this very big picture, you know, and the ways that everyone has a role You know, the person who is, you know, making the food for the people who are going out in the field is just as important as the person going out in the field. You know, the person who's sitting there listening to the radio, you know, being able to talk to all the folks who are out in the field is just as important. You know, it's this big system that everyone has, you know, an important role that things start to fall apart if that role isn't filled. So that was college.
Was there a happy ending to that two-year-old story?
Unfortunately for that one, there wasn't. You know, it was, we actually did not find anything, to be completely honest.
Ever? I mean, just never?
It's still an open case.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, we, and I think for the most part, you know, we do tend to find folks eventually. And it's a helpful thing to bring closure for the family and also the people involved in the search. My very first search I went on when I was still in high school, they ended up calling it off after a week, and it was, you know, someone who I think ultimately, you know, someone found him about a year later. And it was an area that, you know, no one would have ever thought to have looked. But it was a good thing to know that, you know, it's figured out, and, and we're able to finally bring some closure to the family. And so, you know, coming to seminary, again, the fact that Gettysburg is the only seminary in a small enough town to have a volunteer fire department. Was one of, you know, I think I had a checklist of like a dozen things.
That you went to the seminary.
I loved about Gettysburg. And so it was not quite the first day of classes that I was riding my bike to the fire station. But
Pretty close.
Pretty close. In the middle of summer Greek. You know, I was, you know, trying to figure out what
That's
I needed.
That's amazing. What do, when you go to a new place, like when you went to West Virginia and when you came here, what do you need additional training, or what kind of needs to happen when you do that?
You know, it really varies state to state. You know, there are certain certifications that are national, that transfer one state to another. But a lot of times the standards will vary. You know, since in West Virginia, my certification for search and rescue for West Virginia, would be valid in a couple different states, including Pennsylvania and Maryland and Virginia. But when I got to Gettysburg, there wasn't a search and rescue team. So I joined the fire department. And, you know, that was, you know, an experience very much new to me. You know, I had been around firefighters a lot, but working with the fire department has been, you know, a different side of the same picture.
Well, Jonna, so as you have gone through your seminary time and of course, deepened your understanding of vocation, I imagine there have been one or two times when you've had to talk about your call to various people. Tell me how you have come to really see this as a call, as a calling.
You know, I think in a lot of ways, if you talk to the guys at the fire station, and I use guys, you know, we absolutely do have women in the fire service as well. But when you talk to folks at the fire station, and talk about the ways that they got involved, their stories sound a lot like call stories. You know, in many ways, it'll have to do with, you know, the same sorts of things. You know, nurturing from an important mentor. You know, and, you know, feeling a need to be part of something bigger. And you know, it's fascinating. Guys who people who claim to have no faith, will use some of the same language that you would hear from a call story.
Really?
From anyone here at the seminary. And so for me personally, my call to public service, I think does resemble a lot my call to public ministry.
Yeah.
You know, it is, you know, it's something that has sort of grown over time, and you know, as I've tried to, not really tried, as I've gotten away from it at different points, you know, during internship, for example.
Oh, sure, right.
I wasn't able to volunteer.
Yeah.
But
not
as
for
I,
just a year.
Yeah.
That's a hard, right.
But, you know, as I've gotten away from it, you know, the pull toward it is that much stronger.
Yeah.
And you know, I think the language I was using a little bit earlier was kind of intentional, you know, about parts and roles and being part of the body.
Yeah.
You know, I think we all, you know, to go to 1 Corinthians 12, one of my favorite chapters of Scripture, you know, we're all parts of the body. We all have, you know, very important roles to play. And you know, the way that I see my call is that, you know, I don't necessarily have the best answers to, you know, how to serve world hunger or prevent world hunger, but personally, I have a pretty good answer to knowing how, if someone calls 911 in my community, that they're not going to be sitting there without help.
Yeah. That's just fabulous. I can't wait to see how this plays out, you know, in your ministry going forward. I mean, I can really imagine that your congregation is going to be really proud, you know, to have a pastor who serves this way. And it's such a great, you know, we talk so much about the relationship of a congregation to the larger community, and how wonderful to have a pastor who's witnessing, you know, in this kind of way and really rooted in the community in that way. I just think that's going to be really exciting.
Yeah. You know, I definitely, it's something that I really hope to be able to carry forward.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it is in the active hands-on role or, mm-hmm. or, you know, less hands-on, I'd love to be a chaplain to the fire departments,
sure.
or police,
yeah.
departments. And yeah, I think congregations have, you know, a lot to benefit from, you know, allowing that sort of flexibility.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, the most fascinating thing, the comparison between your average small town congregation,
mm-hmm.
and your average small town fire department,
yeah.
there's a lot in common.
That's interesting.
In terms of, you know, organizations that are doing a lot for the community, but, you know, sometimes aren't the greatest at telling their story.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think, you know, fire departments can learn some from churches. I,
yeah.
think churches can learn some from fire departments.
Oh, that's great. Well, and again, I think you're living out something that, of course, particularly for Lutherans, right, our vocation is in our baptism, right, not in our occupation. And so everything that we do, right, is an expression of that.
Yeah.
And so to see someone who is really in the fullness of your life, living out your understanding of the call that you received in baptism, I think could really be empowering for other people in your congregation too, to say, oh, you know, this is who I am, these are the aspects of my life, and in all of these ways, you know, God is at work. And that's really exciting, I think.
Yeah.
Well, this was a great conversation, Jono. Thanks for taking time, and stay in touch so we can sort of hear how this all plays out going forward.
Thank you.
You have been listening to The Seminary Explores from Historic Seminary Ridge in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, a production of Gettysburg Seminary. We invite you to visit our website at www.ltsg.edu. Opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of Gettysburg Seminary or the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America.